Chapter 34. Then, cradled in one arm, Mara circled the Shadow's hull, looking not for signs of abuse or carelessness, though she knew that was what Danny and Silgall believed, but for signs of micropits and gas scouring. Such wear was an inevitable result of any journey through the mass-rich space around Eclipse, and she took as much pride in her vessel's sleek appearance as Han did in the Falcon's character. She found only a handful of items that needed attention, a sign of what must have been an oppressively slow final approach. Mara stopped at the rear cargo lift, where Danny and Silgall were unloading the equipment they had taken to Borleas.
"You took good care of her. Thanks.
Thank you for trusting us with her."
Danny put something that looked like a giant teething ring with a black eyeball in the center onto the repulsor pallet.
"We tried to fit everything in a blast boat, but—"
"It's fine, Danny," Mara said.
She and everyone else had still been awaiting Luke's return from the Senate when Danny and Silgall contacted her to ask if they could take the Shadow to Borleas.
"I'm sure I cringed when I realized you were already underway, but it was in a good cause."
"I only wish we had been more successful," Silgall said.
She placed a blast boat gravity generator on the pallet next to the teething ring thing.
"I was sure I understood the structure of the Amisk's gravitational resonator. Perhaps the freezing altered something."
Mara felt a rush of joy from Ben, and did not need to turn to know that Luke was leading Corin, Leia, and most of Eclipse's leaders across the hangar toward them.
"Get ready, ladies," she warned quietly. "They spent the whole trip from Coruscant arguing about how Borleas's defenses could be defeated so quickly."
"That is an easy question to answer," Silgall said. "The Yuuzhan Vong care less for their own lives than ours. They throw away ships—"
The blaring roar of an assault alarm drowned out the Mon Calamari's final words. Radiating fear and discomfort into the force, Ben added his own voice to the din, and the hangar erupted into action as ship crews rushed to prepare ships for launch. The alarm fell silent and was replaced by the watch officer's voice.
"Attention all crews, this is no drill. We have incoming Yorick coral vessels."
Danny and Silgall looked at each other guiltily. Mara experienced a flash of anger at them for leading the Yuuzhan Vong here and endangering her child, then realized that was not possible. She had inspected the Shadow carefully enough to know there were no tracking barnacles attached to the hull, and it would have been impossible for even the Yuuzhan Vong to track a ship through so many hyperspace jumps without a homing device of some sort.
"No way they followed you here, but that won't make any difference when the bolts start flashing. We'd better take our combat posts."
Mara pushed her son into Silgall's arms, then, as Danny ran off toward the Wild Knight's blast boat, kissed him on the head.
"Go to the emergency shelter with Silgall, Ben."
Ben gurgled uncertainly, then fluttered his arms and legs as Mara rushed off toward her X-wing. Though hardly one to panic in a crisis, she deliberately kept her thoughts focused on the task at hand, and felt Luke doing the same. Uncertainty bred fear, and as strong as Ben was in the Force, she did not want him to sense any dark side emotions in his parents. By the time she reached her starfighter, the mechs were already lowering her astromech droid, she called him Dancer for no particular reason, into his socket. She grabbed her flight suit off the side of the cockpit and pulled it on, listening intently as the watch officer updated the alarm over her comlink. "Sentry stations report a light cruiser analog task force inbound, in pursuit of a Mark II-class Imperial Star Destroyer, possibly the errant Venture." Corin Horn was instantly on the channel, demanding answers the watch officer could not provide. The destroyer was not transmitting a transponder signal, not at all unusual for Booster Terek, nor had it hailed the base. Mara's bewilderment mirrored what she sensed in Luke. The errant Venture was supposed to be hiding the Jedi Academy students in the New Republic rear base at Reese, not hazarding trips to Eclipse, and a light cruiser task force was hardly the type of fleet the Yuuzhan Vong would send to assault the base of the hated Jedi. Something odd was happening here, something that felt faintly connected to the Shadow's presence at Borleas, and yet something that did not really follow from it. Mara stopped at the top of her cockpit ladder and glanced over at Luke, whom she sensed looking in her direction. She knew instantly what was troubling him. Cornhorn was still on the comlink, yelling at the duty officer to break base protocol and hail the destroyer. Mara nodded, and Luke activated his own comlink. Negative on hailing the destroyer watch.
Negative?
Corrin's voice was close to a shriek. My kids are on that destroyer. I feel them.
Then we can assume it is the Venture,
Mara said. She empathized with his feelings. Were Ben being chased by a Yuuzhan Vong flotilla, she did not doubt that she would be just as concerned and a whole lot more dangerous.
We can also assume Booster has a good reason for staying quiet.
The Star Destroyer is taking heavy fire, Watch reported. It's possible that all sensor dishes have been destroyed.
Stang, Mara thought. Very helpful, Watch.
Corrin's X-Wing fired its repulsors and lifted off the hangar floor.
Commander Horn, Luke barked, where do you think you're going?
Where do you think?
This from Mirax. The steady click of heels striking Duracrete suggested she was in a corridor somewhere, walking fast.
To chase those rocks off the Venture's tail.
Corrin's X-Wing started toward the containment field at the mouth of the hangar. A handful of starfighters followed him. Watch, request shield deactivation for combat departure.
Too early, Mara calmed.
She powered up her systems and had Dancer start running diagnostics to warm the circuits.
We're not ready to form up, and we can take them by surprise if we wait. Easy to say when Ben is safe inside, and you're still worried about hiding Eclipse's location,
Mirax countered.
Not so easy when the Venture might go up any minute, taking Valen and Gisela with it.
Watch, acknowledge departure.
Corrin's voice had an alarming edge to it.
Deactivate this shield.
Corrin, Mirax, you're not the only ones with children at risk, Han said. Given the risk that his children were facing at the moment, his words made even Mara feel a little guilty for thinking only of Ben's safety. Corrin, they shamed into silence.
And neither of you is thinking very clearly right now. If Booster was in trouble, you can bet he'd be rattling this rock with concussion missiles.
Contacts have entered visual range, Watch reported. Identity confirmed as Errant Venture. They were coming fast. Mara activated her tactical display and saw the Star Destroyer streaking toward Eclipse's star, its forward turbolaser batteries blasting a clear path through the enormous asteroid disk that passed for a planetary system even at the edge of the deep core. There were 8 light cruisers and twice that number of frigate and corvette analogs on his tail, and they were all traveling far too fast to intend decelerating anywhere near Eclipse.
Corrin, what's happening? Mirax calmed. Why aren't you launching?
Han's right, Mirax. Booster has something up his sleeve.
There was a moment's pause, then Corrin added, I apologize, Master Skywalker. Mara was not sure whether the relief she felt was her own or Luke's, or both.
I'm sure you'd do the same for me, Corrin, Luke said. There was no hint of irritation in either his voice or his emotions. We'll launch after they pass. Can I count on you to keep a clear head?
It might be better if Han took battle control, Corrin admitted. I seem to have, seated myself in the wrong vessel. Han did not argue. Like Mara and Luke and most others old enough to have fought in the rebellion, he had engaged in enough heroics to last 5 lifetimes. Now he was content to go where he was needed and let the combat come to him.
The Venture has been hulled, Watch reported.
Somehow Mirax managed to limit her outcry to a strangled gasp. Mara would have filled the channel with curses that would have made even rigored metal blush.
Venting debris now.
Mara looked to her tactical display and saw a cloud of flotsam drifting in Eclipse's general direction as the Venture flashed past. The Star Destroyer swayed wildly from side to side, as though struggling to retain control after the hit, then suddenly cleared a new path with a volley from its port turbo lasers. Turning as sharply as a Star Destroyer could, it angled for a dense mass of asteroids just in sun from Eclipse.
"He's setting us up," Han said. "Launch by—"
"Wait," Mara said, still watching the debris cloud descend toward Eclipse.
"Watch. Scan that flotsam for life forms. Booster wasn't hit. He threw that stuff at us."
Before Watch could comply, Corin said,
"Mara, thank you.
I can feel Drysella and Valen reaching out to me."
"Affirmative," Watch said. "Those are escape pods."
"Leia, can you send Han up to control and oversee the pod recovery in the Falcon?" Luke asked. "And you and Mirax can help her, Corin." Corin was already setting his X-Wing down next to the Falcon.
"I'd like nothing better. Thank you.
Everyone else launch carefully by squadrons," Luke ordered. "Watch, lower the shields. Sabers. 3, 2, mark." Mara activated her repulsor lift and followed Luke's X-Wing out of the hangar, sweeping around an escape pod and waving at a pair of wide-eyed young Jedi students watching her through their viewport. By the time the other three squadrons had formed up behind them, the Star Destroyer and its pursuers were already out of visual range, and as they eased into the asteroid cluster, growing difficult to find even on the tactical display. Mara thought their approach might remain undetected, until a handful of frigates poked their noses out of the asteroid cluster and began to drop their skips.
"They must want Booster pretty desperately," Mara observed.
"Or they don't know who we are," Luke asked.
The asteroid cluster came into visual range now, the flash of the Star Destroyer's 60 turbolaser batteries lighting up the interior like a tiny red dwarf star.
"All X-Wings, lock S-foils into firing position. Don't be stingy with those shadow bombs."
"Farm boy, you'd better hold back a minute," Han calmed.
"Hold back? Affirmative, hold."
Han's voice dissolved into static as the asteroid cluster began to explode, mountainous rock by mountainous rock, 60 of them in staccato succession, each one spraying millions of tons of superheated stone in every direction at several thousand meters a second. On her tactical display, Mara saw a boulder split one of the frigates down the spine and glimpsed a cruiser analog tumbling out of the cluster in three separate sections. Then Luke was yelling, "Break! Break!" and ducking them behind the shelter of a city-sized asteroid. When Han's voice returned, he was explaining, "Old smuggler's trick. Shunt all engine power to the particle shields, then heat an asteroid behind them and wait for it to explode." He paused a moment, then added, "Works really well with a Star Destroyer."
"You could have warned us earlier, Control," Mara observed.
"Hey, do I look like a Jedi mind reader?"
The rubble wave reached them then, tumbling past in lightning-like streaks of gray, occasionally shattering a nearby asteroid with the flash of a detonating proton torpedo. Their own mountainous shield took several hits that jolted the whole rock noticeably and pelted their particle shields with sprays of loosened pebbles. And finally, the storm was past, slowly dissipating as the debris spray dispersed and gave up so much momentum to collisions that the individual shards no longer had the energy to explode on impact. When they poked their noses out from behind their shield, Mara was astonished to find the Venture on her tactical display, where there had been only the asteroid cluster before. There were a few blank spots on the array where clouds of dust or frozen vapor confused the sensors, but most alarming were the squadrons of A-Wing and Y-Wing starfighters spilling from the Star Destroyer's launching bays. The tactical display marked them all as New Republic craft, but the Star Destroyer reduced the number of cruiser analogs to 5 with a devastating turbolaser volley, and the A-Wings reduced it to 4 with a high-speed concussion missile proton-torpedo combination pass.
"Farm boy, the errant Venture doesn't have a fighter squadron," Mara calmed, "let alone 6.
"Try 10, Jedi,"
an unfamiliar voice said over the tactical net,
"and we're just hitching a ride on the Venture. We're Reese fleet, all that remains of it."
A piece fell into place in Mara's mind, and she saw the tenuous connection she had sensed earlier between the Shadow's presence at Borlias and the Venture's unexpected arrival at Eclipse.
"A surprise attack?" she asked. "At the same time as Borlias?"
"On its heels," the voice corrected. "And they meant to keep it that way. The first thing they did was, well, jam our communications. All we've got are our fighter comms, and only when we're outside the Star Destroyer."
"Jam? How?"
"Some sort of Dovin basal, we think," the pilot answered. "The first Reese knew of the attack was when they swarmed the base shields. We thought they were some sort of Minok at first, but when we tried to transmit, they pulled the signal in like a black hole."
"No one was able to send a message?" Mara asked.
"No one. The Venture caught a dose when she came to get us," he said. "We were trying to clean them off when this task force jumped us at the edge of the deep core."
"So the New Republic doesn't know that Reese has fallen," Luke said.
"Or that the Bilbringi shipyards have been cut off," Han added. "But they will soon. I'll have a message sent now."
The Star Destroyer's form grew visible ahead, its nose coming up before the sabers as it wheeled around to bring its turbolasers to bear on a cruiser trying to attack from above. Mara could just see something that looked like tiny, heart-shaped freckles dotting the white hull, no doubt the signal-devouring Dovin basals that the pilot had described. Another cruiser analog was following behind the Venture, pouring plasma balls and magma missiles into its vulnerable exhaust ports.
"Sabers and shockers, take that cruiser on the tail," Han ordered. "Knights and dozen, remove the one trying to cut him off."
"You hear that, Reese?" Luke asked.
A flurry of comm clicks acknowledged.
"Good. See if you can clear us a path. We're coming in hard."
The Reese squadrons first engaged the coral skippers in the Jedi's way, then tried to draw them off by turning to flee. The skips started to fall for the ploy, then abruptly reversed course, and began to gather in front of the intended targets.
"They have a Yamask!"
Danny actually sounded happy about it.
"In that port cruiser, if we can..."
"Check," a Reese voice replied. "Thanks for the tip, Jedi."
Two squadrons of A-wings wheeled on the cruiser instantly, discharging concussion missiles as they dropped. Taking a cue from the fighters, the errant Venture concentrated a whole bank of turbolasers on the vessel, and the hull began to vomit York coral immediately.
"Wait," Danny calmed. "I meant capture it. We need it alive."
The vessel went dead in space and began to drift, bodies and atmosphere streaming from its hull breaches. The coral skippers continued to cluster in the Jedi's path, their volcano cannons now belching plasma.
"Master Skywalker, it's still communicating with the skip," Danny calmed. "If we can board it quick enough..."
"Let's finish this run first, Danny," Luke replied. "Sabers and knights, ease off. Shockers and dozen, you'll have to clear the way."
Rigard simply took his squadron and shot ahead toward their target. Kip, however, did not seem to have fully grasped his assignment.
"Let's go, dozen," he calmed, peeling off. "We have first shot."
The shockers rocketed into the enemy coral skippers, a kilometer ahead of the sabers, and commenced fire, clearing a path to the cruiser as much by forcing the skips to dodge as by blasting them out of the way. Mara saw one shocker go EV and slam into a chunk of asteroid when a volcano cannon sheared his S-foils, then watched another vanish in a ball of flame as his starfighter smashed headlong into a magma missile. She and Tam began to weave shields with Luke, each sensing the other's intentions through the Force, juking and jinking in perfect unison. Mara kept up a constant barrage of laser fire, using the Force more to avoid hitting her own ships than to target the enemies. Two skips deteriorated into rubble as she rocketed past behind Luke. The darkness ahead suddenly grew bright as the shockers launched their proton torpedoes. Then it grew brighter still as the decoy flares deployed.
The cruiser retaliated with a barrage of Gretchens and magma missiles. Rigard's squadron was already diving down and away, leaving the weapons to come streaking toward the sabers.
"Launch!" Luke ordered.
Mara's shadow bombs were already gone, following Luke's toward the cruiser. Without really thinking about it, she nosed her X-wing over behind his, one eye on her target as she used the Force to guide the weapon home. Tam's laser cannon flashed, blasting a Gretchen away from her cockpit before it could attach. And then the brilliant flash of the first proton detonation caused her canopy's blast tinting to darken. More explosions followed in quick succession, and by the time Luke swung the sabers around, the ship was coming apart. The inert cruiser lay ahead, surrounded by a cloud of floating bodies and equipment. The rifts in its hull hung dark and ominous, some large enough for an X-wing to enter. Mara checked her tactical display and saw that Luke could be thinking what she feared. The Venture, now turned on its side next to the sabers, was already hammering the last cruiser, and the Reese squadrons were herding the surviving skips into an ever-tightening sphere, picking them off now by the twos and threes.
"Skywalker," Mara calmed. "A dead Yamask is one thing."
"They need a live one. And when is it going to be easier?"
Luke eased his X-wing toward the largest breach. "Danny's already shown how valuable it is just to know when there's a Yamask present. Imagine what we'll be able to do when we can intercept its messages."
"How are you going to carry it back?" Mara asked. "Under your seat?"
"Han, send us the Jolly Man."
"Wait a minute," Danny said. "Something's wrong. The Yamask has gone completely silent, and now the skips look confused."
"That's enough, Luke," Mara said.
Close to home or not, this felt too easy to be safe.
"The Force was with us at Talfalio. Today, it's not."
Luke was already swinging his X-wing around as the flash of an exploding magma magazine tore the vessel apart, bouncing Yorick Coral off his particle shields and licking his exhaust ports with 100-meter flames.